You know, it's quite intimidating standing up before a judge in an empty courtroom and trying to explain to him why this very technical piece of information shouldn't be turned over. My name is Ladar Levison. I am the owner and operator of LavaBit. It was a free email service provider. We had about 410,000 registered users when I shut it down, and we had about 10,000 paying customers. And one of the key selling points of this system, two key selling points of this system, one, the fact that I didn't record any of this meta information in log files on the server, which probably made me the only service provider on the planet to do that. I also developed a encrypted storage feature, which would further prevent me from invading users' privacy by securing all of the messages that arrived at my system for the users that activated this feature, and it was limited just to the paid users, in such a way that from that point forward, only they could access their messages through the use of their plain text password, which would be submitted to the server via a secure SSL tunnel. It was kind of a band-aid to these 40-year-old mail protocols that we've kind of been laden with. And it was really designed to do one thing, which was remove the service provider from the surveillance equation. Everybody likes to say, well, you're against government surveillance. You're against law enforcement. You want to see the government burn. You're an anarchist. No, that's not what I am at all. I am not anti-government. I am simply pro-freedom. It's quite simple. I believe that as a society, particularly a democratic society, it's very important for us to be able to communicate with each other privately. That if you don't like something and I don't like something, we can engage in a discussion about how we're going to change things. And that without that, our democracy ceases to function the way it was designed. So I set about building LavaBit. And lo and behold, 10 years later, my convictions are actually challenged. It seemed to work for about 10 years, but finally there was enough political pressure to come in and figure out a new way of collecting the information. The only problem was, because it was so new, even the law didn't allow it to happen. So we ended up in this interesting position where a judge basically had to decide if the existing statutes really said something that wasn't on paper, really said basically that as an email service provider, I had an obligation to provide this information to law enforcement. And that simply putting in place this myriad of technical blocks was no excuse for preventing them from having the ability to conduct surveillance. And I said, Your Honor, I'm not trying to prevent them from conducting surveillance. I'm simply trying to protect these keys. It's not my fault if their device doesn't work. Well, I lost. But more importantly, I lost in secret. And that's what I truly had the problem with. If we as a society decided that our government should have this sort of authority to come and enforce companies like my own to modify their products, to violate the security protections that they have in place, and basically force these companies to act as unwitting partners, become complicit in what I described as crimes against their own customers, then that's a discussion and that's a mandate that needs to be given by us as a society and not by a judge in secret. And as a result, I decided that, well, I simply didn't want to continue to operate LavaBit under those circumstances. And I shut it down. Now, I was expecting my users to notice, obviously. I was expecting a couple of technical websites like Slashdot and Hacker News to talk about it, possibly for a day, and possibly only then because of what else had been going on this summer. I didn't think 3.5 months later I'd be standing at Harvard talking about it. I thought 3.5 months later I'd be looking for another job. But here I am. And it's kind of scary to think about because if the exact same set of circumstances had happened a year ago, I probably, almost certainly, would have made the exact same decision. Because it would have gone against everything I believed. You know, when I started LavaBit, I thought, well, if there's any country in which hosting a private email service should be allowed, it would be the United States. After all, we are the, home of the brave, land of the free? Or did I get that backwards? And we've become the home of government surveillance and land of the scared? You know, I didn't know that 10 years ago. But what I did know is that I'd studied the Constitution enough. I have a degree in political science. I'd read the Federalist Papers. I knew how a democracy was supposed to work. And if it was supposed to work one way, why not build a private way for people to communicate? I had heard about NSLs, national security letters, and I didn't want to be put in the position of having to violate a customer's privacy or go to jail in secret without a judge deciding that there was probable cause to invade that user's privacy. That was kind of the key sticking point for me, that whole, we're just going to ignore the Constitution and throw you in jail if you disagree. So I set about building LavaBit, and like I said, 10 years later, that conviction was tested. Well, if I couldn't operate a secure and private service here in the U.S., then I didn't want to operate one. I figured I'd go do something else. Being in Texas, I thought farming might be a good option. I figured that would be one profession in which I'd be all but guaranteed never to run into the FBI again. Well, it depends on what I'm farming. I forgot to specify that. But yeah, it honestly, the loss in income, because I did lose my livelihood, wasn't the biggest thing stopping me. Wasn't the biggest thing on the other side of the equation. The biggest thing on the other side of the equation was the fact that I had 410,000 people. 50,000 people logging into my system every single day, who many of whom have been depending upon me to provide them with an email address for years. I know personally I had over 104,000 messages stored in my account. I've been using it quite a while. I know there were users that had more messages than that stored on the server. And I was going to effectively be flipping a switch and cutting them off from their email, many of whom didn't have backups on their home computers. To me, that was the biggest reason to keep the system running. And what bothered me so much is that I had to make that decision for all of those users myself, because I couldn't tell them. I couldn't tell you what I was being forced to do. And I just had to hope that they would understand why I had made the decision that I did. I think in the end, they ended up agreeing with me. And again, it's kind of scary to think about, but they probably wouldn't have understood that or come to that same conclusion if this had happened a year ago. How much our society has changed, how much our perception of our government has changed in just one summer. I won't say that I saw it coming because I'm not that smart. I didn't think this would ever happen. It's one of those situations where you prepare for the worst and you hope that you never need it. You buy insurance, but you hope that you never use it. And if I could say one thing about this entire process is that how quickly it happened and the way it happened in secret, it's easy to understand why more companies and more people in my position haven't made the same decision. Because it's not easy. I was looking for every excuse I could come up with not to do what I did. I wanted to believe the FBI, or in this case, the Department of Justice lawyers, when they told me they would only be looking at the meta information for these handful of users. But what gave me pause is that they were completely unwilling to prove it. In fact, they were so arrogant they didn't even think they had to. That even after everything that has come out this summer, they couldn't understand why the American public, why anyone like myself, wouldn't trust them implicitly. I have a number of great quotes from my experience, but one of the best ones is when I appeared on my own behalf in front of the judge because I didn't have enough time afforded to me to find counsel, and I had to travel 1,000 miles away to do it, but it afforded me the opportunity to meet the lawyers that I was dealing with in person. Meet the FBI agent in charge of the investigation in person. And this lead prosecutor, we're in the midst of a discussion, and I'm trying to explain to him this concept This concept I refer to as the sacred trust between a service provider and its users. You provide money to me, I provide you with the service, and I protect your personal information as a result. You trust me as a provider not to misuse that information, to turn that information over to a third party, government or otherwise. And he came back with the question, so, do you really think your users trust you more than they trust us? I said, yes. Now, for me, it was a very easy question because I ran a service that was really focused around privacy. It was marketed as an alternative to Gmail. You know, for users who weren't comfortable with the fact that your messages were being scanned and profiled and those keywords being drawn out and used to target advertisements at you, I provided an alternative, a service that would provide you with a large quota and give you IMAP and POP access, two of the features that a lot of geeks like, a lot of heavy email users like, but not necessarily everybody else. So for me, it was a very easy question, but it did occur to me that maybe the rest of the world does. Maybe the rest of my fellow countrymen do implicitly trust the government. And if there's any lesson that we've learned, it's that there's a reason we're not supposed to trust our own government. I've used this quote a lot this summer, but it's the duty of every patriot to protect his country from his government. And it's a quote of Thomas Jefferson. And it's really this fact that, you know, our entire society, and I happen to be standing on a campus that's old enough to remember this, but we're a society where the governed give consent. Well, how can we consent to something we don't know about? And that was really my issue. And I've spent the entire summer kind of traveling and standing on my soapbox trying to explain that to people. Because there's really a bunch of issues going on right now, both in the media and in the courts. You know, my particular issue, at least the one that I'm talking about here today, took place in a criminal court, a district court, as a result of a criminal investigation. It was unsealed, so I can talk about it. But it's only one small piece of a much larger puzzle. I'm sure everyone in here is aware and has probably heard for the first time this summer about the FISA court. Just by a show of hands, how many people knew about the FISA court before January 1st this year? Before January. Before the summer of snow. Not bad. That's about half. I'd say that's probably well above the average for this country. But I guess I am at Harvard. But it's this whole process of, well, I guess I should back up to the mid-90s and the clipper chip debate. You know, we decided as a society in the mid-90s that it was more important to have encryption technology that the government couldn't break, that our need for privacy was so important that it shouldn't be legislated away by the government. Well, we fast forward to the 2000s, September 11th happens, and all of a sudden we have a court system that is allowing that very same technology and sort of this that very same problem to come up all over again. The only difference is now it's taking place in secret. So I spoke about it earlier, but I'll return to it now. One of the real problems I had was the fact that I couldn't tell anybody. Hey, folks, the government's coming in and demanding my SSL keys. Do you know what that means? They want to set up shop as LavaBit on the internet and pretend to be me. They want to intercept all the information coming into and out of my network and presumably filter it down and record some of it. Is that okay? This is my property, right? This is information belonging to my business. It would be like going to Coca-Cola and demanding the secret formula for Coke simply because a criminal happens to be drinking Coca-Cola. I happen to know that particular example from my business law course. But I think it's an appropriate one. Coca-Cola has been trying to protect their secret formula for over 100 years. I'd been trying to protect my SSL keys for 10. In fact, I felt it was one of my core responsibilities as an administrator to protect access to my systems, to ensure that users could access their data securely. I probably took it a little bit to the extreme. I like to say I was mildly paranoid, not quite in the tinfoil hat range, but I did use PGP, particularly when I was sending passwords and other sensitive information, but that was about it. Gotten a little more paranoid since then. I stopped ordering computers over the internet and going to like electronic stores to buy everything so they can't be intercepted. And it's just this simple idea that I think next time they're probably not going to ask, they're just going to take. Which is another big problem. You know, a lot of people have asked me, well, why don't you just move your systems abroad? Well, let's ignore the fact that I'm an American and I like doing business in America and I still think I should be able to. And talk about that for 1 second. And after 5 weeks of debating that very question, my lawyers came back to me and they said, well, you know what? You could move your servers abroad, but if you stayed here in the United States, you could literally be put in the position where you'd have to either violate U.S. law or the laws of the country in which you're hosting your business. I was like, ooh, that doesn't make anything better. In fact, if anything, it makes it worse. Because no matter what I do, I'm going to be breaking somebody's laws. So I decided, well, that's not really an option. Well, I could move abroad. That would fix the problem. And let's assume for a second that I can learn another language because all the countries that happen to be very friendly to privacy, none of them speak English. And I could spend the rest of my life trying to defend my network from electronic attacks by the NSA. Now, I'm good, guys. I know a lot more than most about information security. But even I am willing to admit that I could probably not defend my network successfully from the NSA indefinitely. They just have too many resources. And that's kind of the state that we find ourselves in. Here's an organization, a military organization, that was created to spy on other countries, on other governments. And they've taken the technologies and the techniques that were developed for that very purpose, and they're employing them against not only their own citizens, but the citizens of every other country as well. Now, I can at least say that here in the U.S., our Constitution should protect us from that. I can't say that our Constitution should apply to everybody all over the planet. All I can say is that it has to be a moral question. I'm not saying we need to end our attempts at surveillance. Like I said, I'm not anti-government. I'm just pro-freedom. And I think what we face ourselves, what we find ourselves today facing is that very question of how important is privacy in relation to security? And I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said, "He who will trade liberty for security deserves neither." I believe it. But I don't expect everyone to. What I think is important to realize is that my beliefs shouldn't matter. What's important to remember is that we entrust our government with certain powers, and we depend upon them to use discretion in how they deploy those powers. And I think a big part of the reason we as a society are so upset right now is because they've abused that very trust. And what's worse is that they've done it in secret. At least if they had been open about it, at least if there was a discussion about it, they would have had a mandate. And while I would not have agreed with it, I would have lived with it. And that was sort of, again, just going back to my very story, that was one of the big problems I had. There was no law requiring me to turn over these SSL keys. I don't know how many of you are familiar with CALEA, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, which basically mandates that telecom companies, phone companies, are required by law to develop the capability for any individual subscriber to be tapped by the federal government. It gets better. Apparently, what's happened is they've developed the capability for every line to be tapped simultaneously. But I digress. CALEA explicitly excluded email and internet service providers from any of their law enforcement assistance provisions. Basically, what they said is, I have no obligation to collect any of that meta information. I have no obligation to have the ability to collect any of that information. And I have no obligation to turn that information over. That, like I said, you can install this device on my network, and it's not my fault if it doesn't work. And that was sort of the situation we found ourselves in. And we tried to explain that to the judge, and he said, well, it's my fault that I didn't develop the capability. Therefore, if the only way to do it is to turn over these keys, I had to. Well, and then I found out that this judge spent 7 years on the FISA court, and it all made sense.
District court judge?
Yeah. I didn't find that out until after the fact, but certainly explained a lot. So that's sort of the situation we find ourselves in today.